You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Francisco Giants. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I am joined by my colleague Chris Haft, who is covering the Giants from MLB.com, coincidentally enough. So, Chris, we are here in January, and so we're about 6 weeks away from spring training, which is a lot of time, but not that much time, and things are slowly moving for the Giants, but there was a little bit of news that came out recently that Tim Hudson had to have some ankle surgery to remove some bone spurs. So, you know, sometimes this happens, and he'll be out a couple months, but even though it was downplayed by Bruce Bochy and everybody seems to be optimistic about it, you have to, I guess, consider the fact that Tim Hudson is going to be 40 this year. So does that change kind of the outlook on what the recovery process might be or how serious this might be?
Well, you know, if you take everybody's word for it, no. And you just have to accept the club's insistence that he'll be ready for the start of the season. Now, he'll probably have to that this will probably move him to the back end, to the very back end of the rotation, number five starting spot, which is the spot he might have occupied anyway. The thing is, they can easily slide in, Yusmeiro Petit into that spot if Hudson's not ready. Rookie Chris Heston might also be a possibility, depending on how he performs in spring training. But for now, it's they don't really have much margin for error, Allison, because they're still counting on, they're still hoping that Tim Lincecum can be an effective starting pitcher. But they're not, if they were to really come out and be honest about it, they're not sure, and they think Matt Cain will bounce back from his right elbow surgery to have bone spurs removed. But that's not 100% certainty either. The only 100% certainty is a pretty good one. That's Madison Bumgarner, who, you know, you don't need to say anything about what he – I think everybody knows what he's done, what he's capable of. But he threw 270 innings last year. How is he going to bounce back from that? If anybody can, you know, withstand that kind of, you know, work effort hangover, so to speak, it's him, because he's maybe one of the strongest guys in the major leagues. But and he throws so easily. But that being said, they've you gotta wonder. That's I think it's gonna be something to watch, a question mark, as spring training begins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of looking at the depth chart, and you know, when I look at other teams, there might be 7, 8, 9 names like under the rotation. And really, you know, when I look at the Giants, there's like 6 names on there, and like you said, I mean. The 3 of them just stand out as maybes, like with Cain, with Hudson now, Lincecum. I mean, you just don't really know what you're going to get from him. And whereas, you know, Petit can slide in for one of them, and Bumgarner can not pitch every single day. Do you feel like there's a lack of depth? I mean, you know their system better than I do. Do you feel like there's a little bit of a lack of depth, like in the upper echelon of the minor leagues as far as starting pitching goes? Are they still grooming some guys in the lower levels? Like, what's going on inside the organization?
Yeah, not major league ready starting pitching, Allison. That's the thing. They've got some pitching prospects. There's no doubt about that. But they haven't pitched above double A. You know, they're going to have to, if the Giants feel forced to call upon those guys this year, those particular guys will have to mature pretty quickly.
And you mentioned Bumgarner's workload last year, which is just—it is mind-boggling. I mean, I've not really studied, like, you know, guys that pitch deep into the World Series. You know, how many innings that they do compile throughout a season? But 270 is just—it's like what Nolan Ryan used to do, you know, in a regular season, just because he was Nolan Ryan, but nobody else came close to doing that. And, you know, Bochy may approach him about possibly just like skimming a little bit off of his workload, maybe giving him an extra day's rest when possible, but that's hard to do to your ace. I mean, I know that those like extra days of rest or you know, when a fifth starter will be skipped in the rotation when there's enough off days. And I would imagine that, you know, a guy at the top of the rotation and having the success that Bumgarner has has had, that that's not going to really sit well with him. Like, no, I don't want to pitch on 5 days rest. I mean, do you think that could turn into an issue?
I'll tell you why I don't think it will, because Bruce always has, for the most part, not skipped the number five starter over the past 2, 3, 4 years. I mean, he's always given the ace and the other people in the rotation that extra day of rest, whether that ace was Tim Lincecum or Matt Cain or now Madison. They almost staunchly refuse to, kick the number five starter out, or skip the number five starter, I should say, and pitch everybody else on, regular rests. I think that speaks to why, for the most part, San Francisco's pitching has been so effective in the last few years, because, everybody gets that regular, or I should say extra rest when the time comes, and so they're in good shape. And so I don't think, and I don't think Madison's going to complain about the occasional 5 days of rest. I think he'll welcome it. But it's funny you mentioned Nolan Ryan. He's got that same kind of Madison has that same kind of work ethic. So there again, if anybody can handle this sort of workload, it's him.
You've covered baseball for a very long time. You've covered many different managers. And I think it's interesting, something that maybe the general public, the fan base, doesn't really get to peer into, is how different managers are about protecting pitchers' arms, and how some are maybe a little bit more careless, even though that might be too harsh of a word. But there are some managers that are like, I covered Jimmy Williams in Houston. He was obsessive about making sure that he's not abusing any of the starting pitching arms, and well, really any of the pitchers. And to where, every pitch, every warm-up pitch that a bullpen guy would toss, he was just paying so close of attention to that. You have to hand it to the ones who understand that they're not just trying to win games, but they're trying, they care about a pitcher's longevity and how long he can stick around. Have you seen, a lot of the, you don't have to name names, but just, through, your experiences, are there very definitive differences in a lot of managers when it comes to that?
Yeah, there are some differences. I covered one manager. We'll just let him remain nameless. Who I think ruined a pretty good pitcher's arm by allowing him to throw, leaving him out there for 130, 140 pitches. I think the first or second start of the season on a really unseasonably cold day in Cincinnati, and
wow.
That was it. That was it for this guy after. After that outing, Bruce Bochy, I can say it because maybe it's not that controversial, but or even if it was controversial, I'd go ahead and say it anyway. But it's not what I was about to, what I'm going to say is about him is Bruce seems to have a knack for knowing, whether he goes to an extreme, which extreme to go to, whether a certain guy should be yanked out of there after 80, 85 pitches, even if he's doing okay. He just has a sense for, maybe giving him a quicker hook. And or if a guy is just on a roll and maybe he passes the usual 100, 110 pitch limit, which is when all managers start to kind of, freak out, he'll let the guy go to 120 or 125. If he just feels like the guy can handle it, and nobody's had, with the exception of Kane's, bone spurs, that's not really a sore arm. Nobody's had a sore arm. Bruce knows pretty much and knows how key to strike, so to speak, with these guys.
That would explain why he's been a manager for World Series teams. Or partially explained it, I guess. But so let's move on to some of the other, maintenance things here. We have a cleanup situation. So while the Giants have found a third baseman, I don't think that you're going to see Casey McGee flipping into the middle of the order to replace Sandoval that way. So it's going to be sort of a mix and match thing, which I think is really kind of funny. Every time I talk to you, I just feel like these are questions that are asked about teams that are just trying to, maybe break 500 or maybe still be in the contention conversation in July. But, you know, the Giants seem to always be in it at the end, even though they have some, like, major questions. But you sort of see maybe Pence, Posey mixing and matching in the middle of the, in the lineup situation, at least starting to start the season.
Yes, you know, but I think Bruce will play the hot hand. He'll go with matchups. I think Brandon Belt will be part of that mix. So, you know, assuming he hits okay. I don't think they get too caught up on who hits third, who hits fourth, who hits fourth, who hits third. I remember I wasn't covering the team back then, but back in the Barry Bonds, Jeff Kent era, you know, it was my brethren in the media always made a big deal. Oh, who's hitting third? Who's hitting fourth? You know, between Bonds and Kent. Did it really make that much of a difference when they were, you know, averaging five runs a game and each of those guys was an MVP candidate every year? I don't know if it did. Although I guess there were a couple points when, you know, I think the team took, if I remember correctly, the team maybe took off after a certain, after Dusty Baker settled on some, you know, certain alignment, you know, in between those two. But for the most part, you know, it was just, you know, well, you know, they're both good hitters. It doesn't matter where we put them, and let her rip. And I think that part, that's going to be mostly Bruce Bochy's philosophy with Pence, Posey, and maybe Brandon Belt.
And let's talk a little bit just about the division. I don't think that we've talked since the Padres went all crazy on us, reshaped their entire roster. How do you see just, you know, with the Dodgers and the Padres having made, you know, huge sweeping changes, where do you see the Giants in this whole thing, and what do you think about what some of these other teams have done?
I think it's going to be a more... Every year, you know, the people in the NL West say, oh, it's a balanced division. And this time I really do think it's a more balanced division because of the improvements the Padres made. I don't know if the Dodgers necessarily made themselves better, but they still have a lot of talent. You know, Arizona's not letting the grass grow underneath its feet. And Colorado, I think they're always a factor just because of that, you know, that they play so well at home. And the other teams hate playing there. So I think it's going to be, I think it will be as much of a dogfight, if not more, than it always is every year.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be a division that people keep their eye on because, you know, with the Dodgers and the Giants especially. But, yeah, I mean, you can't really count out. I feel like it's just going to maybe, nobody's going to really be able to run away from it. There might be more teams that seem to still be in the picture maybe in July and August before,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah, I agree.
Fall out. Yeah. Okay, well, Chris, thank you so much. Happy New Year. We'll be talking to you very soon.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.